This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Last month, the state's Division of Family and Children's Services, often called DFACS, released for the first time an annual report on children who died after having some type of contact with DFACS. The total for 2012, 152, 48 of whom had open cases at the time they died. Susan Boatwright is Communications Director with DFACS. Susan Boatwright, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
These 152 deaths involve children who had any type of contact, so that would cover a wide range of things from hardly any to, a detailed open case, right?
Yes. The services could range from assistance with locating food, daycare, and it's important to keep that in context that children that are in this report, they were not all related to maltreatment.
There were 18 that were homicide, correct? And 11 of those, if I read the report correctly, were committed by the caregiver. And is there any way to compare that to previous years? Or because this is a first-of-its-kind report, do we have any data to show us whether we're making progress or not?
What we like about the way we are looking at this information is that we are taking the time to, within 24 hours, to gather the staff from the county office in which the child death occurred, and we look at everything that surrounds the circumstances with the child death, and we try to get a better understanding of what occurred, if there was anything that we could do to prevent a death of this nature, what we can do to assist the family during this very difficult time, and to just try to get a comprehensive understanding of what's going on. We did not do this in the past, so we can't really compare this process to anything we had before.
Well, an obvious question would be, why wasn't this done before, since DFACS for years has been the subject of concern over follow-up, caseloads, making sure kids don't fall through the cracks? Why is this the first year that such a coordinated approach has been tried?
Well, we had other methods of following up and of doing our work. This is a different method, and we're hoping that this type of learning and taking it sort of out of individual counties where the information would have been sent to the state office, but we would not have had a broader conversation about it and then broader learning when we have a statewide meeting where we take this data and we talk about the trends in the information, and then we talk about what can we do then to use this information about this very difficult subject to then move forward and try to prevent this from occurring wherever it is preventable.
But is there any sort of review of whether some of these deaths happened because children were not, there was not enough follow-up, for instance, or because kids fell through the cracks in the system?
Part of the process of staffing the case is we have a centralized unit at our state office. They're called collaborative partners, and that is part of their responsibility, is to look at not only the circumstances around the child's death, but to look at the agency's involvement with the case and to see if there was something more that could have been done, and then talk with the staff who were involved about what could be learned from that and how we can improve our practice moving forward.
And again, the question comes back, I guess, why hasn't this been done before? Is it because there was a separate system, or is it just because it took this long to get this kind of approach?
I think that the method of following up on when a child dies has changed. It was always a practice of looking at the child death, but it was occurring in individual county offices. This is a practice to make it a consistent process to share the same information county to county with a group at the state office, and to have one practice to then provide shared learning and education for the state. We also have had a campaign. If you'll notice that the sort of natural deaths, which was the highest causal factor in our child death report, comes accidental deaths. And in the accidental death category, sleep-related deaths is the highest number of deaths in that category.
Yeah, either co-sleeping or SIDS.
Yes, and so that's very important information for us, because when we go into every home, we want to make sure that we are talking with parents, especially parents of younger children. Younger children tend to be more vulnerable than older children. We want to look at the environment in which a child sleeps and make sure that the parent is well-educated on what a safe sleep environment looks like. But also, for the families we don't work with, we want to get this information out about a safe sleep environment, and we need to work with our community partners to make sure we all have consistent information and that we're sharing it with all families and young children.
In order to do that, though, one of the problems that has come up consistently is the caseload for workers right now. Do we have a feeling for what the average caseload is so that parents can be educated, cases can be followed up?
I do not have that information in front of me. We can certainly touch on that at another time. I just do not have that information in front of me.
And shortly after that, what clearly sounded like a phone line malfunction cut off the connection. There had also been line problems earlier in our conversation with Susan Boatwright, Communications Director of the State Division of Family and Children's Services. Because of her schedule and ours, we'll return to DFACS to continue the conversation in the coming days.